So I don't know if you caught the Alleluia verse. A lot of times we don't catch it because we're busy standing up. But the Alleluia verse today is one of the most recognized passages in the entire Bible. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might have eternal life. John 3:16. In this short verse, we can not only sum up the entirety of the gospel, but really that's a summary of the entire Bible, and honestly, of God's interaction with humanity through all these thousands of years. For the last 3 weeks here, we've been talking about that stuff. We've been looking at how God created out of inexplicable and overflowing love. We've seen how poorly things turned out when humanity turned away from God, and the absolute devastation that is in store for us unless someone came to save us. And finally, last week, we saw how God sent His only Son to save us. And all of that is in one short verse that we almost missed before the gospel. God so loved the world. God created this world out of love, and because of this, because He created out of love, He must love the world. It is His creation, and it's dear to Him. He hates nothing that He has created. That He gave His only Son tells us something happened to God's beloved creation. Sometimes I wonder what it means that the Father sent His Son to save us, that the Son came willingly to die for us, that the Father sent His Son to die for us. When you think about it, it's incomprehensible. But someone was speaking to me, I think it was a class or something, and they said, maybe if it was a conversation comprehensible to us humans, it would have gone something like this. The Son approaches His Father and says, Father, they are suffering and they cannot save themselves. Allow me to go down there to the earth to set them free from their slavery to sin and their imprisonment to death. Father, let me die for them so that they might come back to us. And the Father would reply, You are my beloved Son, and You I am well pleased. Go save my children who have wandered away from me. Teach them of me and bring them home. I think that can help us understand what's really going on. Then finally, that everyone who believes in Him might have eternal life. God desires for us to reside with Him for all of eternity. This life is not the end, and yet sometimes we are blind to that very important fact because we'll allow this life, worldly goods, worldly pleasures, money, lust, sexual perversion, power, politics, easy living. We let these things lure us away from what is truly good and holy. We let them lure us away from all those things that come from God Himself. Not only do our sins lure us away from God and towards that domain of death and the devil, but they imprison us and they steal away the dignity God gave us when He made us, and they jeopardize that eternal happiness. So we have to follow Jesus Christ out of it. At the end of St. Matthew's account of the gospel, Jesus gives us our mission. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them." And the most important word in that sentence, it's not go or baptize or teach. It's make disciples. We are called to make disciples by our Lord. Just as Jesus Christ came to this earth to gather people around Himself so that they can follow Him back to His Father, so too we are called to do that. We're called to gather people around Jesus Christ, to help them become friends with Jesus Christ so that they can return to our Father who is in heaven. How do we do this? It's always good to start with a story of why I should care. So look at Zacchaeus in today's gospel, or Zacchaeus if you prefer to say it that way, it doesn't really matter. His story is incredible. Zacchaeus is a terrible sinner, and everybody knows it, because he's a tax collector, he's a thug, he's an extortionist. That's what those people were in the Roman Empire. I think the IRS is a little nicer than that, right? They aren't just straight up thugs. They just take our money. But Zacchaeus was an extortionist thug. And he had fallen so much in this life that St. Cyril of Alexandria, he says, he didn't have to climb the tree just because he was short. He said that his sins dragged him down so much, he needed to be lifted up just to see God. That was the other reason he climbed the tree. But Zacchaeus had heard of this Jesus fellow, that he was doing something special. And so the love of the Father cut through that darkness in Zacchaeus' dark and sinful heart, and it gave him just this faint glimmer of hope. If I can just see him, if I can just see him. And when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he looked at him and he loved him, and that love in his look shattered the sin in Zacchaeus' heart. And from that moment, he was saved, and he knew it. He had been pulled out of that spiral of sin that he knew was killing him. He said, I'll give half of my stuff away now, and then I'll give four times back what I've stolen from people. It's an incredible conversion in his life. And that's not the only story we know from the Bible. Look at Mary Magdalene. If you see some of the diocesan stewardship posters, you'll see this image of Mary Magdalene. Why Mary Magdalene? While we've argued in scholarly debates about exactly which woman in the gospel she is, what we do know is Mary Magdalene was possessed by seven demons. This daughter of Israel, this chosen child of God, was tormented, and she couldn't do anything to help herself out of it. But then one day, she met our Lord, she met Jesus, and he freed her from all of that. And at that moment, the love in her heart exploded, and she followed Christ, even to the moment of his death. That's something none of the apostles even did, but she loved him that much, she would never leave him because of what he saved her from, what he pulled her out of. Her love could never be stifled, so much so that she was the first person back at the tomb. And I imagine she almost died with joy when she found out Jesus was still alive. But it's not just the people in the gospel who have these stories. I have a story too. I grew up Catholic. I was an altar server. I had a great Catholic education and family life, but honestly, coming out of high school into college, I didn't care, right? I just didn't. There's no way around it. Like, I went to Mass, but that's just what I did. Now, I didn't consider myself scum of the earth or anything like maybe Zacchaeus, you know, which last week we had that story with the tax collector who goes way up, stays in the back, and the Pharisee who stays up front, you know. Got to watch out for that when I'm telling my story, right? But I wasn't really living my faith. I was in the darkness a bit. But then, there was one day I was struck speechless in my apartment. I can remember everything about that moment. I can remember that it was dark outside. I remember the room I was standing in. I remember that it was a little bit chilly, even though my windows were closed. I remember all these things because at that moment, somehow I recognized there's an emptiness in my life and only God is going to be able to fill it, because that's the one thing. The church has been the one thing that's always there for me. Somehow, I knew that's where I needed to go. And in seeking that fulfillment, I learned how to respond to the love of God. I allowed Him to shatter the sin that was in my own heart. It led me to take my faith seriously and eventually to this moment right now where I'm standing in front of you as the priest. But it took me years to recognize that that was one of the most decisive and important moments of my life. It took me a long time to recognize that everything since then has been in response to that rescue operation God mounted for me. Right? It wasn't for any of you, it was for me. Because He loves me. Like Zacchaeus in the sycamore, or Mary Magdalene who had the demons driven out of her, that was the moment I knew I had to follow Christ the rest of my life, no matter what happens. These are the stories that we can share with people to help them know who God is, how much He loves us. These are the stories we can share when we go out to the world to be missionaries in our own neighborhoods and in our workplaces. So, what's your story? If someone asked you, "Why are you a Christian?" what would you say? The four words that we're looking at this year during our renewal: created, captured, rescued, response. If we look at those and we pray with those, they can start revealing what has happened in our own lives to bring us back to God. It can help us find that story that's maybe hiding even from us so that we can share it, so that people know God loves each of us individually. He wants us all back. And not only that, when we know our own story, it gives us strength and resolve like you wouldn't believe to share your faith, because now you recognize that is a love for Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to hear the good news of the gospel, that we've been saved. Even our fellow Catholics need to hear this. You know, a few weeks ago, I shared with you a little bit of information that surprised everybody about giving here. But honestly, there's a number that's a bit more tragic to me as the priest. We have over 3,000 registered parishioners, but we have 1,250 people coming to Mass every Sunday. 42%. That's a lot of work that we need to do to get people back to God. And so here's my challenge to all of us who are here today. Pray and think about what your story is, about why you are here, your reason for believing. Some of us already know what that is. But if you don't know why you're here, if you don't know your story, that's okay. Ask God to help you. And after you figure it out, ask Him to give you the courage to talk to one person who you know is Catholic and hasn't been to Mass in a while. And all you got to say is, "Hey, I haven't seen you over at church in a while. Do you want to come to Mass with me?" That's all you got to say. You don't have to rub it in. Never hurts to ask. God sent His Son to save us from everything that's trying to drag us down. And so let each of us put aside those fears in our hearts to share that good and beautiful news. And let's begin to work to bring our brothers and sisters back.